We begin now the service of Tenebrae. Leaving the table of communion, the place of our eternal union with God, we listen and watch as one by one Jesus' disciples arise from that table in an act of abandoning him in his trial. Jesus is left alone to make his journey into human death in an act of absolute trust in God.
When it was evening, he took his place with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better if that man had not been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Lord." He replied, "You have said so."
Then Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples.
He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed. "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became great drops of blood falling down on the ground.
They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into this time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came back and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners."
After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word.
I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one.
After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. And so Jesus brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priest and the Pharisees. And they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "For whom are you looking?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them.
Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, and they called together the whole cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then about an hour later, yet another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly.
As they led him away, they seized the man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children."
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw that had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the woman who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and grabbed it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb.
We were created in the image of a God who paradoxically was sensitive and loving, and at the same time strong in giving direction, offering courage and support for the journey that each one of us would take. We were created, each of us uniquely, each of us with our own purpose, each with our gifts, with our unique soul, with a unique heart, with unique gifts that we could offer one another. We were created to be part of the human family. And in that family, we were reared to come to wisdom, through experience, through challenge, through struggle, delighting always in the pleasures of this life, grateful always for the blessings that were a part of our days, mindful always that we were God's people. And somewhere in the journey, our roads turned corners, choices were made, and life happened, and we found ourselves removed from that great blessing in which we were created. Each one of us found our way, perhaps a new way to a different us, trying to be what the world expected of us, trying to find acceptance for who we thought we were, seeking to be loved in that unconditional love that we knew in our time before being born, a love that has no bounds, a love that is totally given freely. No challenge, no judgment, no grades, no demand for perfection. And making our way in our journey, each one of us can recognize that we have become prodigal in some way of distancing ourselves from that place where we began, of finding ourselves in a strange land, foreign to what we have known, but populated with many demands, with many expectations to which we must respond. The journey back to the Father, a simple phrase, but one that asks all of us in our prodigalness to know the need once again for that wholeness, that integrity of life. And in that journey, we find ourselves very much like the elder son, an older sibling who resented the joy of his father over the return of his lost son, who resented the fact that he had done everything correctly, did everything he was asked to do, was perfect, and yet did not seem to have the love of his father. How blinded are we when our concerns for advancement, for recognition, for fulfilling our lives as successful people, we miss the great moments of love. The love of a spouse who is always behind us and at our side, supporting us, encouraging us, and helping us to be the person that we need to be. The love of a child whose innocence and in whose eyes we recognize our own call to innocence that has long since passed with the complications of life. A toddler and a young kindergarten person who asks us to delight and jump around, knowing that this life is a good life. And there are moments, certainly for all of us, that can be as carefree and filled with wonder. The professors, the teachers, the coaches, the friends, all who helped us to be the persons that we are. And how often, as an elder son, I have resented or distanced or ignored or rejected the love that was there. Jesus is a prodigal son. And in our story and in our painting, Jesus is the prodigal son returning to the prodigal father. For in his journey, his human journey, the journey which ended in the story we have just heard, he discovered something more. Beaten down by life, rejected, abandoned, betrayed, judged, and condemned, all very human experiences of each one. He discovered that moment of absolute isolation where he felt even God could not possibly be present. And yet, in his dying, in breathing his last, he recognized that he was becoming the Christ. He was becoming all that God had intended. By embracing his life in its fullness, he became the Father, one with God, and now heir to the kingdom. And now, instead of being the prodigal, instead of being confused by the elder son, he took us with him and in open arms embraces all of us in the embrace of the God who created us, who loves us unconditionally, and who is ever present, especially present when we feel alone and abandoned. Could it be that our journey through prodigality, through this Easter, we will find the courage to become the Father. To be the one who tonight holds us in consolation, comforting, and letting go of those things that hurt us, and finding compassion and acceptance. Could it be that we are called to be the mother who holds us dear, close to the womb in which we were born, to gift us with a life that can only be generative and with a love for which there are no bounds? Could it be that your journey and my journey to this night would be an invitation to indeed become the Christ, the one who now dispenses the blessings of God? Could it be, might it be, that God has yet a surprise for each of us? Be still this night. Be still tomorrow. Listen. Let us listen intently to the voice of the God who this night, with open arms, says to us, "Welcome home, my beloved. You have nothing ever to fear, for you are with me."